God bless you. And all the kids said?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Head on into class. And everybody else, take your Bible. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. You know what? It's kind of tough to go into a great detail about the word studies on this because it's like thou, that's you, shall not, that's a verb, mean don't do that, steal, which means take something that doesn't belong to you. So I guess we can go to an early lunch now. We're through. The Hebrew word it put in the English letters is ganav. Thou shall not ganav, which means, and by the way, it is ambiguous as to what it means, the specific theft. So the theft can be something very minor. The theft can be something major. The theft can be of a physical property. The theft can be of character. There's a lot of different ways that this can play out, and that's ambiguous on purpose for that. Now, have you figured out that our society does not live by the Ten Commandments? Have you figured that out? Anybody here over about 3 years old who hadn't got that figured out? We live behind bars in a lot of our homes while the criminals roam the streets. We have clubs on our cars. We have alarms on both our cars and our homes. We use passwords for our computers and for our bank accounts. And all of that because people today in today's society do not have a high regard for the Ten Commandments of God. Or for any of the commandments of God. Now, by way of reviewing quickly, who are we to worship? Thou shalt have no other gods but me. How are we to worship? In spirit and in truth, not with graven idols. How not to use his name? Not use it in vain, not use it in oaths, false oaths or professions, or in hypocrisy. How to remember the Sabbath day? Keep it holy. It is a Saturday. That's the Sabbath day. It's a time of rest. It's not a time of worship. We should be worshiping every single day. How to treat our parents? Honor them. There's a promise if we do so. How to safeguard life? Do not kill. How to safeguard marriage? Do not commit adultery. And I thank the chaplain for covering that a couple of weeks ago. While the sixth and seventh commandments deal with the sacredness of human life and the marriage covenant, the eighth command deals with human rights of ownership. I want you to understand something. The government doesn't give us the right of ownership. God gives us the right of ownership. God commissioned Adam in the garden, gave him certain responsibilities, gave him the rights of ownership. And so this commandment safeguards property, but it's not limited to physical property. There are a lot of synonyms we might use for not stealing that help open up the applications. Extort, defraud, cheat, beguile, misappropriate, embezzle, pilfer, swindle, gyp. Lots of different words. Burglary statistics from 2018, and these are kind of boring, but 88% of all burglaries are residential in nature. 77% of all crimes are property crimes. Identity theft is a huge thing. It's on a big increase. Anybody here been victimized by identity theft? Yeah, yeah. It's a nightmare. It's terrible. 3 out of 4 homes in the U.S. will be broken into within the next 20 years. So if you've been living where you are for 20 years, haven't been broke into, when you get home, I'm just saying, you may check around. Renters are more vulnerable to property crime than homeowners. Police usually only clear 13% of all reported burglaries. 2,500 cars a day are stolen in the United States. We had a couple of those years ago. The most popular targets for theft, not surprisingly, cash, laptops, iPhones, smartphones, other electronics, gold, jewelry, watches, medications, firearms, guns, tools, household goods, liquor, which no Baptist would ever have, obviously, but liquor, your identity, cars and bikes. Everybody listening? Okay. Further, as a rule, the young are less ethical than the older, and men are more dishonest than women. Hey, ladies, I'm giving you your fair due here, all right? Just pointing out the facts. 33% of a survey said they had cheated on income tax. 25% of the people in a survey said they would steal $1 million if they knew they would never get caught. 24% would not correct a waiter if he undercharged them. And 9% would keep a wallet if they found it with $1,000 cash and knew who it belonged to. Sad state of affairs. thou shalt not steal. The God-given rights of ownership in our outline, everything belongs to God. You know what? You ought to underscore that, circle that, highlight it. Everything belongs to God. Haggai chapter 2, verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I've got a gold ring here. It's mine, but it's not. It's God's. I've got another gold ring here. Got a stainless steel watch. No big deal. Over here, that's God's. I got a wife, that's God's. I've got a car, it's God's. I you know what? He is the creator, he is the sustainer. Everything is his. Psalm 34:24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. My kids are God's. My grandkids are God's. 1 Corinthians 10:26, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is all in all. No one takes anything out of this world when they leave. 1 Timothy 6:7, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The pharaohs weren't able to do it. The pharaohs would build these temples, and they would put all kinds of gold and precious things and grain and all of that. And one of my favorite parts is if the Pharaoh died, then they would also bury his wife with him in the tomb. I think that's a good idea. My wife is not crazy about that idea. But all of this was in preparation for the next life. And guess what? Thousands of years later, you find the stuff still in the tombs because it didn't go anywhere with them. You can't take it with you. I can't take anything with you. You won't take anything with you. You've probably heard this. You've never seen a Brinks armored car following a hearse to a cemetery. A certain rich man wanted to take it with him, so he called his three closest friends together, called his doctor, his lawyer, and his preacher. He gave them each $100,000. He said, when I die, I want you to put that $100,000 in the casket with me. So in the process of time, the man passed away. And the doctor, the lawyer, and the preacher all went through the line, and they all placed something in the coffin. They went out together to have some iced tea after the funeral, just checking to see if you're paying attention. and the doctor said, I've got to confess something. I got to get off my mind. I put an empty envelope in the casket. The lawyer said, well, since we're confessing crimes or sins or whatever, he said, I got to tell you, I only put $50,000 in the envelope. And the preacher was disgusted with both of them. He said, I'm ashamed of you. I put in a check for the whole amount. Because it's never going to be cashed. If you stop and think about it, you cannot take it with you. Everything we have is on loan from God. Our health is on loan from God. Our home is on loan from God. Everything belongs to Him. That's why tithing makes so much sense, because everything belongs to Him anyhow. And what He says is, I want you to partner with me. And you're learning this in Financial Peace University right now. I want you to partner with me, and you're faithful to me with your tithe. I will take care of you. And I want to tell you, from two kids a long time ago who were kids who were poor and came from poor backgrounds and had nothing much at all, God has blessed us because we have put God first in our giving. We trust Him enough to give Him the tenth and more. We are trustees or managers of God's wealth. The church is God's. I don't own it. It's not my name. The leadership team doesn't own it. It's God's church. It absolutely belongs to Him. We can't hold on to anything, folks. Stop and think about it. You cannot hold on to anything. It can be gone in an instant. Your health can be gone like that. You can be in a car accident and gone this afternoon. I mean, it's just, life is very fragile when you stop and think about it. And eventually, everything goes back to our Heavenly Father, who will do what with this world's goods? He will burn it all up. Because it's no big deal to Him. All of the, we read heaven streets are paved with gold type thing. Go, wow, it's paved with gold. You know what? What God is saying is, it's no big deal. I just paved the streets with it. It's not worth anything. Just asphalt. It's just something to have streets with. He will cleanse it all with fire. Theft is wrong because it takes that which ultimately belongs to God. Governments do it. Other thieves do it. The ultimate theft. And I want to tell you something. In today's society, I have never in my life heard so much embracing by our society of socialism and communism. And I'm not just talking about helping each other out and having things in common. I'm talking about the isms of socialism and communism, which take the freedoms of the individuals, and I do believe they are sisters to atheism. I do believe that. They banned religious freedoms. You said, well, they have state churches, and they regulated what was said, and they imprisoned people that they didn't agree with, and the same thing in China. They do it today. They're doing it right now as we speak. I was there in China, met with some pastors who came in, had to sneak them in. Some of them were arrested on the way in. Some of them were arrested on the way out at the meeting. There is no religious freedom. When they take away the right of freedoms that we have, then we become virtual slaves. Every gift we have, the gift of freedom. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, I just thank God that he gives us the freedoms to worship him and to serve him in this country, but it may not always be that case. It may not always be that way. We may have to pay a price for our faith one day, but remember, the freedoms that we have come from God. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This commandment teaches it is okay to own property, recognizing we're owning it for God and to use it for God's glory. And it's wrong to take property from people that's not ours rightfully. Second point is this: the God-given right violated. Theft of property. There are three ways to have property. If someone gifts you something that's yours, by purchase, if you go buy something at the store, the swap meet, or wherever, that's yours. And by theft, by taking it. There is grand theft, there are misdemeanor theft, but both are wrong. One can steal through violence, one can steal through being stealthy, one can steal with a computer. A fraud is not violent, but fraud is absolutely wrong. And he warns in Deuteronomy chapter 25, God warned in his law, because Deuteronomy is the second law, that's what it means, second law, so it's the giving of the law again in great detail, greater detail, and he warns about having different sets of weights. If you read the King James, it's divers sets of weights, and you're going like, what's divers sets of weights? That's what the weight belt you put on when you dive? Is that what? No. Divers means different. Different sets of weights. What would you use those for? When you're buying, you'd use one set of weights. When you're selling, you'd use a different set of weights. So when you're buying something, you would use maybe a weight that's hollowed out inside so that they would give you more of whatever you're buying to be able to balance it. That's not right. The other way around. Anyway, one of them would be hollowed out, one of them would be extra heavy, and if you're buying or selling, you would use it to your advantage, and that's wrong, that's cheating, that's stealing. Anybody here sells cars? I don't want to pick on you, I just want to say car salesmen don't have the greatest reputation. Businessmen can have problems. Employees can be problems. In James 5:4 ESV, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which kept back by fraud, crying out against you, the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. So employees, or employers rather, who don't pay their people on time when they're supposed to, what they were supposed to, that's theft. Employees taking supplies, tools, wasting time, getting on the internet, playing Candy Crush or whatever it is, build a fort or some other something, instead of working, that's theft. You can be guilty of theft by not paying a debt. You know what infuriates me? These ads that come on and say, have debts? Oh, $25,000? We can get them dismissed. Poof, into thin air, they're gone. You know what that means? You have just robbed someone of 25 grand. You can take bankruptcy and still make arrangements to pay off your honest debts. You shouldn't use that to commit theft. Theft of a person, this young man rightfully pointed out. Kidnapping, which, by the way, was also punishable by death, which our governor evidently doesn't believe in. Capital punishment, doesn't believe in it. Well, it's wrong. You might convict the wrong person. You might put the wrong person to death. I'm sure that's happened, and I'm sure it's happened too many times. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of guilty people who have taken other people's, innocent people's lives, who the Bible says the remedy for that. I don't care what your polls say. I don't care what your statistics say. God says if you take a human life, then you ought to die. And if you kidnap a person, then you ought to die, according to the law, the Old Testament law. You can be guilty in Exodus 21:16. He that steals a man sells him, or he that is found in his hand, he shall be surely put to death. Joseph's brothers should have been put to death under the law because they sold him as a slave. They took away, they thought, his future. They took away his life. They took away his rights. They took away his opportunity to be with his family. Theft of purity or innocence, that also was punishable by death. If a lady was morally attacked in the countryside and cried out and no one heard her cries, then the man was to be put to death, but not the woman. Now, it's interesting. In a city, if she didn't cry out, then they were both to be put to death. I'm just saying, we have an epidemic in our culture today of child abuse and sex trafficking. Another thing I never could have imagined as a youngster growing up in the United States of America, besides wanting us to become socialistic and communistic and atheistic and all of that, the idea of sex trafficking, people stealing kids off the street, scares me to death to think about my grandkid, my grandson. What could happen? So we have this sick stuff going on because people don't pay attention to the Word of God. Theft of peace and happiness. By neglect, someone said, give flowers to people while they're still alive so they can appreciate them. Proverbs 3:27 says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it's in the power of your hand to do it. So by neglect or by cruelty, we steal people's happiness. We steal people's peace of mind. Theft of reputation. You ever think about that one? Gossip. Did you hear about Nick? Did you hear what Nick did? But here's the Christian version of gossiping. Hey, I want you to pray for Nick. He's been stealing hubcaps again. He's got this hubcap thing, you know, and my heart's been grieved for him. And I just want, would you covenant to pray with me for Nick? Yeah, okay. And so then he, of course, wouldn't spread it because he's not. Gossip. What are we stealing when we gossip? A person's reputation. A person's character. It's called character assassination. If anyone thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is what? Worthless. Worthless. James also said in chapter 3, verse 2 and following, for we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us and guide their whole bodies as well, look at the ships also, though they are large, they're driven by strong winds. They're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, the paradise fire, they think was started by some sparks from some transformers. Not a blowtorch. Not a flamethrower, not even a campfire, some sparks from a transformer. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue, he says, is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Guys, when you get mad and say things to your wife, when you get mad and say things to your kids that you shouldn't say, it is a fire. It burns them. And what do burns do? They scar. The tongue is set afire among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. It is hellfire, not just any kind, it's hellfire. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With this tongue we bless our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, James says, these things ought not to be. Does the spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This tongue gets us in all kinds of trouble. There's theft of faith. I think I knew a man in my former church whose purpose in life was to steal people's faith, rob them of their faith. I know Satan does it. In Jesus' teaching, when he was teaching about sowing the seed of the word of God, and he talked about sowing seed in one of the places he sowed, and the birds came in and ate the seeds. And I feed birds every morning. It's the funniest thing. I look out on my fence, and on my fence I'll have anywhere from 15 to 20, 25 doves sitting there, and they're all looking at their watch. Like, when's he going to get out here? And I take some bird seed out there, and I sprinkle it down. I go over and make sure my hummingbird feeder is good to go. And the birds come in. We got this routine. They come in and eat. Then I feed my dogs, and I let my dogs out, and the dogs chase the birds away. And then the dogs come in, and then the birds come back. I mean, we got this whole routine. We do this every single morning of every single week. In Matthew 13, he told him a parable. He said, a sower went out to sow. He sowed some seeds, fell upon the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And then in verse 19, they said, what does that mean? In verse 19, he says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one, Satan, the evil one comes and snatches away that which has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. Theft of faith. People will try to steal your faith when you're down, when you're battling, when you're going through a crisis, when you're in a valley, trying to steal your faith. Here's one, theft of glory, theft of God's glory. It's called pride. When we take upon ourselves, we pat ourselves upon the back and we credit ourselves for being so brilliant or hardworking or smart or whatever it is, pride. Pride, I think of Nebuchadnezzar. I think of Nebuchadnezzar, who in Daniel 5 said, when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his earthly kingdom, and they took his glory from him. He became like a wild beast for 7 years. His hair grew like feathers, his nails like claws. He ate the grass of the field. He was insane for 7 years. Pride. Anything good that we're ever able to do is only because of the grace of God. Because our hearts are evil. Our hearts are alienated from God. We are so driven by the things that we see and the things that we want and the things that we desire instead of the things that God desires. Theft from God. I started out saying everything belongs to Him. So when we steal, if I take something of yours, I'm really taking something that ultimately is God's anyhow, because He gave everything to begin with. But the prophet said, will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. Actually, present tense verb, you are robbing me. Not you have robbed, but you are robbing. How have we robbed you? And your tithes and contributions, you're cursed with a curse. For you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe in the storehouse, there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, or try me, the Bible, the King James says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing until there is no more need. Someone wrote this, some pay their tithes when they are due, some when overdue, some never do. How do you do? Let's conclude with this, the God-given remedy. God-given remedy for any sin. First of all, repentance and confession to God. God, I have sinned. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me. There's no use in saying I'll never do it again, because about any time I've ever done that, I do it again. Because that I'll never do it again is a prideful thing, really. I've learned my lesson, God. I'm smart now. I will never do it again. By the grace of God, I won't indulge in that sin. By your grace, God, with your help, I'll not indulge it. Repentance and confession to God. Secondly, restitution. That's what my mama taught me. I didn't go in to steal that ring. I didn't know who it belonged to. I just said, whoa, that's cool. If I had been thinking properly, I would have immediately marched myself to the office and said, I found a ring. But I didn't. And my mom taught me, she taught me a lot of things well. She said, take it back. And if we've stolen something, can I tell the adults here what I was going to tell the kids, but I got overruled. Because, not overruled, but I asked her advice, and I got overruled. When I was in the first or second grade, I don't remember which, I had a classmate named Tommy Walker. If you know a Tommy Walker, you can help me out with this. First or second grade, he brought in a Civil War wallet. Some soldier's Civil War wallet, it was wrapped, real old leather, and you unfold it, kind of like threefold type thing, and it would wrap up and stick. I mean, it's really awesome wallet. And I took it. And Tommy said, teacher, Jimmy's got my wallet. And the teacher said, Jimmy, did you take his wallet? And I said, no. This is mine. I've got that wallet at home today. I don't remember anything about the first or second grade except that I owe Tommy Walker a wallet. And if you know a Tommy Walker who was in Chicago Heights in about 1952, I need to get it back to him. Pat went online trying to find Tommy Walker. Restitution to the one wronged. It's not always possible, is it? Sometimes you don't know where they are, I don't know where Tommy lives. Sometimes people have passed away, you can't really. But that's where repentance and confession to God comes in, because praise God, He can forgive us even when the person from whom we took things is not around. But there's a third step. Not just repentance and confession, not just restitution to the one wronged. By the way, there's several ways to figure out what compensation you owe in the book of Deuteronomy. The third thing, though, is the correction of the flawed principle in our life. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. How do you do that when your heart is evil? How do you do that when you're a sinner? How do you do that when our thoughts are not always God-honoring? How we do that is to turn to Jesus. He is, as they sang this morning so beautifully, He is our hope. What I cannot do because my flesh is weak, I can do through Jesus Christ. I ask you to bow your heads. And I'm going to say to you, the greatest theft of all, I've saved for the last year. What is the greatest theft of all? The greatest theft of all is for you to allow Satan to steal your never-dying soul. Because your never-dying soul was given to you by God Almighty, and He loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter where you've been. He can forgive even you. In the Word of God, He forgives murderers, He forgives blasphemers, He forgives stealers, robbers, He forgives liars, He forgives anybody who comes to Him in faith, believing. And so if that person who needs forgiveness and salvation is you, then I want you to pray this prayer from your heart to God. You don't have to say the words out loud, but I want you to pray this prayer. Dear God, I realize that I am guilty of sinning against you. I believe, God, that you love me, that you sent your Son to die for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe he died and rose again after 3 days, paying the price for every sin I've ever committed. And right now, in this place, while I'm seated, I ask you, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and be my Savior and be my God. I trust you for eternal life right now. Every head still bowed to give everyone privacy. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, sincere as you can be, would you raise your hand up as high as you can raise it right now? Just hold it up real high. Preacher, I just prayed that prayer. I meant it with all my heart, with all my soul. Our Father, we thank you for being the God who forgives. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me for stealing that wallet. I forgive you for, I thank you for forgiving me for not thinking of taking that ring right to the office when I did. I knew it was wrong to take it home. I thank you, Lord, that you can forgive us for stealing a person's character by our words, for stealing peace and happiness and joy from those around us by our actions and words. I thank you, God, that you're that kind of a God who can help us, forgive us, restore us, and change us from the inside out. And I pray that this message, your word from this message, would go home with us and make a practical difference in our lives. Bless and protect our nation, O God. Keep us from isms that would steal from us our freedoms. You're able to do that, for nothing is impossible with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? Our praise team is going to sing an invitation, a verse or two of invitation. Fitz is over here. Gentlemen, guys, if you need to come and pray with someone, he's right here. Rachel's right over here. My wife's right here. Ladies, if you need to pray with someone, you don't have to confess to them. You confess to God, but you can get some help praying for you right now. If you want to know about church membership, you want to be baptized, you want to receive Christ as your Savior, want to rededicate your life, whatever it is, don't let Satan steal from you the activity and the action that you ought to take right now by coming and doing what he's impressing upon your heart for you to do right now. So as they sing, come on right now.
Hungry I come to you for
on right now.
So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
I want to thank you all for being here at First Baptist Church today. If there's anything we can help you with, spiritually making any kind of decisions, please let us know before you leave. Check with these folks over here, myself, my wife, whatever we can do, we'd be glad to do it. Check your bulletin for weekly announcements, Bible studies coming up, special meetings, and so on. Get the bulletin. Please read my article about aloha and mahala. because it really was from my heart. So please get that and read that, even if you don't normally, which really hurts my feelings. Read it. Go ahead and read it. Saturday, men's prayer breakfast, 8 o'clock right here. Bring some guys with you. They don't have to be members of First Baptist. Bring some guests. We've got a crew going to be cooking here starting at 7 o'clock, and another group of people who'll be setting up for that. That's this Sunday, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Then next Sunday, we're going to be having communion. First Sunday of the month, we'll have communion service together, adult Bible studies, the Financial Peace University, and the study in
Romans chapter 8.
Oh, that's a good one. Romans chapter 8. You know, they're all good. Yeah, they're all good. Yeah. But that's a really good one. Yeah. And preaching on no lying. Church fellowship dinner right after that, and Kelsey Berger from Young Life will be here talking about Young Life Ministries, so be sure to be in God's house at that particular point in time. We'd be glad to have you here. And Ryan, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please? And after the dismissal and prayer, greet people, and who knows, the person next to you may be a visitor, and maybe we'll base your friendliness upon whether they come back or not. So be friendly, even if it hurts you. Ryan, would you go ahead and dismiss us?